The reading will be 2 Thessalonians 2, 9 to 12. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth that they might be saved. And for this cause God shall send them strong delusions, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but have pleasure in unrighteousness.
Well, happy Sabbath to each of you, and it's my pleasure to be here, let me tell you. A few months ago, I got the call to come here and present this evangelistic series that's be starting this coming Friday. And I took it as a call from God. And you, as a church, invited me, and so I'm here. And I believe that God works through these things. And He called me to be here with you because He wants to bless you and your community that you live in. Would you bow your head with me just momentarily as I ask, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who is and was and is to come. Lord, we plead for your presence this morning through the series of meetings, for the souls out there in this community that are seeking for more than they've ever known. And I pray that the light that you have given us will not be hidden under a bushel, but that we might lift it high. And that your love that you have for each of us, that we will share. And I pray, dear Lord, that you will bless the words that come from on high, that you will give me words, that you anoint my lips, and that my heart will be filled with your presence and your love for this dear church family and for the community lost and seeking throughout Elmira, that we might be able to do your will in Jesus' name. Amen. Where is your place? Where is your place? Now, by the time I was 20 years old, one day I was figuring this out with my aunt June, and she helped me because it was a little fuzzy those first few years. You know, when you're one and two, it's kind of hard to keep things straight. And I was about 20 years of age at that time, was just going into the Air Force, and I was just saying goodbye to my aunt, and so we talked, and she helped me figure out. I was 20, and I'd lived in more than 20 places. So, where was my place? It was all over the place, if you will. See, I remember arriving in Pueblo, Colorado, where I graduated the eighth grade. I had no more arrived there than I was challenged to a race, and I didn't know what was going on, but some of the boys were all there and they were anxious, and so I raced with this young man, and let me just say this, the fastest kid in the class was still the fastest kid in the class, and it wasn't me. Then I remember another place where I got the proverbial sign on my back. One of the kids came near to me and was especially friendly with a new kid. And then afterwards, shortly thereafter, somebody kicked me in the pants. Proverbial sign, kick me, was placed on my back as he patted me on the back. Especially friendly, right? Fortunately, I was fairly good at sports, so wherever I went, that was kind of an in, and I usually found, and I say usually, not always, was able to find my place in the pecking order, and it wasn't too bad. But it was a constant thing, changing from one place to another. My father, after all of World War II, being in a Japanese prison camp, somehow he had a hard time staying in one place. As soon as there was a problem, let's move. My ninth grade, I was in junior high school in Walla Walla, and from there went, before the year was over, to San Jose, California, and went to a huge high school there. Then it was back to Pueblo, and a huge high school there. Then in my junior year of high school, it was Dayton, Washington, a small school. And I was really getting to really like it there. And I didn't want to hear any more about moving. But the word came out. Dad says, we're going to Brewster, Washington. And there I was. I'd been 1 year and was enjoying Dayton. Didn't want to go. My mother worked really hard trying to figure a way that I could stay and finish my senior year in the same school. Well, needless to say, I graduated from Brewster High School. So that was my life. And somehow I got to the point where very deep in me was a desire for a place under the sun. And you know, I finally had a place under the sun when I retired 3 years ago. And it was miraculous. The Lord provided. We didn't have the resources, money saved, and so on. By the time I had gotten my wife and my three children, it helped a little bit with them getting through school and retired. There wouldn't have been anything, but things just came together. Things came together, and all of a sudden, we had this beautiful 20 acres of pine trees about a mile and a half from a lake. And I'd sit on my deck some mornings at the beginning. I was so excited about it. And I would sit there and I would sing, this land is mine, God gave this land to me. Remember that song? And I would just sing it there, and I was so thankful, and look around at all the birds flying, and it was beautiful. It was great. Recently, Carmen and I, my wife, Michael's mother, decided we're going to sell our place. We had it for 3 years, and that was great. But we've given it over to God. We lived just far enough out of town, it just became prohibitive to do as much ministry as I wanted to do. Gasoline and just the time. An hour to drive in and an hour back, you know, and trying to consolidate expenses. End up always doing all the little errands everybody has to do and not having enough time for the kind of ministry I really wanted to do. So there we are again. I am so thankful for those 3 years. It was nice to have a place that was ours, really ours. We'd owned a house before, but it was never like that. This was like this special place. Turn with me to Hebrews 11th chapter and verse 8. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 8. Hebrews chapter 11, starting with verse 8. The word says, by faith Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to the place which he would receive as an inheritance. And he went out not knowing where he was going. By faith he dwelt in the land of promise as in a foreign country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he waited for the city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Do you notice there that he went out to the place that he would receive In the future. Did he have a title deed? No. He had a promise. And the promise was from God, so it was better than a title deed. But Abraham is known as the father of the faithful. And it's kind of interesting. You go to Numbers chapter 33, verse 53. Numbers 33:53. Now, Numbers 33 is kind of giving a little historical overview of God's people and coming out of Egypt and God leading them and so on. And they were pilgrims, weren't they? In Numbers 33, verse 53, it says, "They shall possess the inhabitants of the land and dwell in it, for I have given you the land to possess." And you find all the way through Scripture that God promised to His people a land. But you know, that land of Israel, that literal place, was only a type. It was only a symbol of the whole earth. Isn't that right? And so Abraham was called out, and he went. He didn't know where he was going. And Carmen and I have decided we're going to go wherever God sends us. What about you? Where's your place? Turn with me to Psalm 37, if you would, please. Psalm 37. We're going to be reading verses, starting with verse 9. Psalm 37, verse 9 says, "For evildoers shall be cut off, but those who wait on the Lord, they shall inherit the," what? "Earth." God was only showing us how He would give not just Palestine to His people, but how He would give His people the whole earth. Amen? And we continue there in verse 10, "For yet a little while, and the wicked shall be no more. Indeed, you will look carefully for his place, but it shall be no more." Today, there are all kinds of conglomerates, nations, individuals, who have all kinds of material wealth and hold control of large parts of the world. But the wicked one day will be no more, and their place will be found no more. Where's your place? Verse 11, "But the meek shall inherit the earth and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace." You remember that Jesus quoted this, didn't he? When he started his kingdom, when he came here, when he began to proclaim on the Sermon on the Mount, which is the proclamation of his kingdom, how his kingdom would work, different than other kingdoms, right? And it starts out, "Blessed are those who are poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God." And you'll remember maybe that it goes through a series of how God's people would progress and how they would live and how members of His family, members of His kingdom, how they would be different than the others around them. But in the end, those who were persecuted for righteousness, theirs was the kingdom of God. Where's your place? I remember that Jesus said, "I go to prepare a place for you, that where I am, you may be so there also." Amen? Where's your place? Where's your place? You know that the Jews claimed the promises, but Jesus said of them, I know that you are Abraham's descendants, but you seek to kill me, because my word has no place in you. Jesus said to the Jews, to the leaders, the religious people, God's special people, he said to them, you search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and these are they which testify of me. But you are not willing to come to me that you may have life. Where's your place? The Jewish leaders said of Jesus in John 11:48, if we let him alone like this, everyone will believe in him, and the Romans will come and take away both our place and our nation. They were really worried about their place, weren't they? Jesus was shaking up their place. Let's go to Revelation, the 12th chapter. Revelation 12, well-known verses. Revelation 12, verses 7 through 9. Revelation 12, verses 7 to 9. And war broke out in heaven. Michael and his angels fought with the dragon and his angels fought, but they did not prevail, nor was a, what? Place found for them in heaven any longer. So the great dragon was cast out, the serpent of old, called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world. He was cast to the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. Is it that God sent Satan to planet earth? Or was it that Eve and Adam had opened the door to give him a place on earth? So today, here we are. Does the devil have a place here on earth? Yeah, all I have to do is look around. And I thought of all kinds of terrible stories I could tell you to convince you, but I don't need to convince you, do I? That the devil has a place on earth. And why did Jesus come? To take back that place that belongs to him and to him alone, to take it away from Satan, the dragon, that devil. In fact, we can find here that God's people have a special place. Now, our place is 5742 F Corkscrew Canyon Road, Washington, Tum Tum, Washington. Is that my place? What's your address? Is that your place? Where's your place? Turn with me to Revelation 21. First verse. Revelation 21, beginning with verse 1. Now I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. Also there was no more sea. Then I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them. And they shall be his people. God himself will be with them and be their God. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. And there shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain. For the former things have passed away. Then he who sat on the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said, write, for these words are true and faithful. What's your address? Where do you live? Where is your place? I hope you have an address in the New Jerusalem. Didn't Jesus go to prepare you a place? Let's go back to Revelation 14. Back up just a little bit. Revelation 14. We know these texts well, I would hope. If not, you should get to know them. Revelation 14, verses 1 to 5, says the following. Then I looked, and behold, a lamb standing on Mount Zion, and with him 144,000 having his Father's name written on their foreheads. Amen? Where is God's people? Even today, where is God's people? Where is your place? On Mount Zion. So my address isn't 5742F Corkscrew Canyon Road, Tum Tum, Washington. It is an address. I don't know the exact house number, but it's the New Jerusalem. Amen? Let's go to Hebrews now. Let's go to Hebrews. I want to go to chapter 12. Hebrews 12. Verse 22. Hebrews, I believe, written by Paul. I don't think there was anyone else in that time that could have written the book of Hebrews like it is. It just doesn't have his name in it, like most of his epistles. But, and some question that, but I think it was Paul. And listen to what Paul has to say then. Verse 22. But you... By the way, if you're not looking up here, I'm pointing at you. I'm pointing at you. But you have come to Mount Zion and to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn who are registered in heaven, to God the judge of all, to the spirits of just men made perfect. Notice it says that you have come to Mount Zion if your name is registered in heaven. Is your name registered in heaven? When was it registered in heaven? When you committed your life to Jesus Christ, when you went down into a watery grave, you were called, you were chosen to be a part of God's kingdom. Isn't that right? So what is your address? Where do you live? I fear that God's people too often live at some literal geographical address on planet Earth and they don't live in heaven. And here's why I fear for it. We continue. Let's go to verse 26. Speaking of how Mount Sinai, remember there was a great shaking when God spoke at Mount Sinai. Verse 26, whose voice then shook the earth. But now he has promised, saying, yet once more I shake not only the earth, but also heaven. Now this, yet once more, indicates the removal of those things that are being shaken as of things that are made, that the things which cannot be shaken may remain. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us have grace by which we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear, for our God is a consuming fire. If we are a part of God's kingdom, if we are part of God's congregation of angels and saints who trust and serve Him, what are we going to be doing on planet Earth? You know, that's what the decision that we came to. I was enjoying learning how to be a gardener. I didn't learn too much, but I for the first time we were gardening. You know, it was always difficult. I tried it a few times in the past, but I'd get called away to do something, taken away, and there would be a garden half started, and I tried that a couple times and gave up on that. And this time, I claimed I was never going to move again until one more move to heaven. That was it. And now we're ready to sell our place. It was really wonderful working. I feel better after 3 years working a lot outdoors physically, because we started with just bare virgin forest and there was nothing there. So did a lot of physical work, at least compared to what I'd done in the past. And started feeling good, full of energy. But actually, I got tired of working only on that place. And no, we were doing ministry, but the more ministry I did, the more I wanted to do. The more I felt better physically, mentally, and spiritually, the more I wanted to do more ministry. And so then I get this call from this church to come and do the evangelistic series. And I believe that God has put you and me together. It's my blessing. It's a new opportunity. But I was willing to put our place on the line here on planet Earth to have a more sure place in heaven and to assure that more people will be in heaven. Where's your place? I'd been without before, and it was so wonderful. It was like this miracle that God put together, and all of a sudden we had a beautiful place. And I was happy, and I needed that 3 years. But at the end of the 3 years, I said, I'm doing ministry, but I want to be doing all that time I'm spending with the garden, I want to put it in God's garden. All the effort I've been doing, painting the house, doing this, the other thing, I want to do that in building up God's house and His home. So now, it's up for grabs. It's up to God now. It's not for me to decide where I'm going or when. Where is my place? Well, God gave it to me, and now I've given it back to Him. God wants you to have a place under the sun, but more importantly, He wants you to have a place in heaven. There is a shaking going on, and everything that can be shaken will be shaken out. But the thing that cannot be shaken is the kingdom that God is giving us. But the question is, have I received it with all my heart? How much am I willing to sacrifice here on earth? As Jesus says, put your treasures where? In heaven. And everything we do for the kingdom of God is kept, never forgotten. It has a place in God's heart. Now, we don't have anything that we didn't receive from Him. And yet, He is going to account everything we do for Him and His kingdom, even though it is Jesus working through us. He is the one who puts it in our heart. He is the one who gives us the strength. He's the one who puts it in our minds how to do it. He leads us. He guides us. And yet He will account those things that we do for Him and His kingdom as if it needs to be rewarded. You know who needs to be rewarded, don't you? Jesus. How does Jesus need to be rewarded? By more souls that He loves, that He paid such a price for. I want to have a place in God's heart. I want to have a place at His table. Before us is a time of trouble. But Psalm 27:5 says, "For in the time of trouble He shall hide me in His pavilion." In the secret place of his tabernacle he shall hide me. He shall set me high upon a rock. In the secret place of his tabernacle. Can't see it. You can't explain it to a person who is not of the kingdom of God where that secret place is. In all the chaos of the world, there will be a refuge. It won't be a visible, formal refuge. It won't be a fort. It won't be a stronghold. It won't be a city. It'll be God's care. It's a secret pavilion. For those who are totally following Jesus. Those people on Mount Zion, it says they follow the Lamb wherever he goes. And from their mouth comes what? It says that in their mouth is no guile. In their mouth is no deception. They speak only the truth. And it is the third angel's message. It is the first angel's message, the eternal gospel that is given with a whisper. With a loud shout. Right? And God's people are not to whisper on planet Earth. They're to shout out everything they have seen. They're to be the witnesses of God in these last days. They're to follow Jesus. Luke 23:33 says, and when they had come to the place called Calvary. Are we ready to follow Jesus even to Calvary? Are we ready to put whatever we have on the altar for Jesus? Jesus says, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Well, there it is, brothers and sisters. Where is your place? I think about myself and see if it applies to you. Thinking about myself, if I'm not all in for Jesus, I'm going to find myself out of heaven. Is my place truly beside Jesus? One last text. We'll finish with this. I love this text. The more I've thought about it, what we'll be doing this starting next Friday is giving the people of Elmira and surrounding area the opportunity that you already have. That I have. Revelation chapter 17, verse 14. Yes, there's chaos in the world. We don't like chaos, do we? We like peace. We don't like war. But it's really quite a parable. Today, the United States of America, half the people or more than half the people don't want to admit it, but we're actually at war. Aren't we? We say, we're not at war. Tell that to the other side. Guess what? We're in a spiritual war. We like to take all the promises that talk about God's care. But what about the promises in battle? Are we ready to fight with Jesus? The kings of the earth are going to fight against Jesus and his people. And Revelation 17 verse 14 says, these, the kings of the earth, the whole earth, will make war with the Lamb. Who's the Lamb? Jesus. And the Lamb will overcome them. The whole world, with all its noise, with all the forces, with all the powers, are at war with Jesus and his people. But it says, the Lamb will overcome them. For He is Lord of lords and King of kings, and those who are with Him are called chosen. That's what we like to claim. Didn't the Jews claim to be God's people? We're Seventh-day Adventists. We're true. We keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus, right? But if you're called and chosen, you also have to be faithful in all that Jesus presents to us as an opportunity to be on His side. So, I'm asking you to help me. I'll speak. I'll go visit the people. But are you going to join with me as warriors fighting for souls? Are you going to invite people? Are you going to pray? Are you going to pick up little burdens here or there, whatever you can do? That's the one thing about God I've learned. He's very fair. He never asks you to do more than you're able. And He makes you able to do anything He asks you to do. Are you ready? Because ready or not, here it comes. But this text, Revelation 17:14, the whole world is going to fight against us. But He, the Lamb, Jesus Christ, will overcome them. And we have the privilege to be with Him. Where is our place? With Jesus. May the Lord bless you and keep you. And please, help me with this. I need to be all in for Jesus, and I can't do anything without your help. Are you ready to help me out on this? How many are going to help me with this? Huh? Thank you so much. The Lord bless you and keep each and every one of us in Jesus' name. Amen. Now may the grace of Jesus Christ and the power of His might be upon us all as we go out to do battle for Jesus and we walk each day in His footsteps. In Jesus' name, amen.